Om Shanti. So yes, this is our next exercise. And I want us to delve a little bit more into the quality of humility, because really in my experience, humility is such an important foundation for happiness. Because as we said before, any little bit of ego and your happiness can fly out of the window. And so if we really understand humility deeply and begin to practice it, we have a greater chance of maintaining our happiness. And so this is another reflective exercise. And actually, the group yesterday preferred to stay in fours. Would you like to be in pairs or in fours? Fours is, yeah, because I think it's a richer discussion. So the question, think of a time when you have experienced the quality of humility, either from interaction with another person, so you saw it in them, you saw the interaction, or when you have experienced humility within yourself. So in a particular situation, you use that quality, you experience being in that stage. What did it feel like? Can you describe the experience? So to really think what that experience is. And then the second question, equally important, what transformative effect did humility have on the situation in your story? And how did it help increase your happiness? Right? Questions clear? Okay. So again, let us reflect for a few minutes. And just so we can bring the story to mind. And then, yes, one story, if you think of one story each, and really think about the effect that humility had on that situation, that relationship, whatever it is. Okay, let's have our reflection. Any questions? That's okay? Okay. All right, let's have a few moments, a few minutes to reflect. Okay, been able to think of something? Yeah? Okay. Ready for discussion? And you can take 15 minutes for discussion. If possible, be nice. I know the language groups will have to stay the same. But if you can team up with other people that you haven't talked to before, then that would be nice. That'll be a different dynamic and experience. And if Sister Becky can help you to get into groups of four. Okay, Om Shanti. Thank you. I think bringing you back into the big group is like putting a cork on a bottle of a fizzy drink. Lots to talk about. Great. Okay, so we'd like to hear some of the stories. But it would be nice to hear from someone who hasn't yet spoken. And I don't think anyone from the Polish group has spoken, and a few groups. So those who haven't said, Fatima, you want to come? Come. So if you could tell us your story and the transformative part. And here is the great storyteller herself.
Om Shanti. I think it was, what year was it, Kat? Just after Nelson Mandela became the president. No, when we went to meet, it was after 95. Because it might have been 1996, but the year is not important. So Daddy came to visit Cape Town, and then one morning she woke up and said, at Amrit Vela I had a desire to meet Archbishop Tutu and the new president, Nelson Mandela. So the older BK started running around organizing this meeting. So eventually, I was very fortunate to be in that group that went with Daddy. So we went to Archbishop Tutu's office in the city in Cape Town. At that time, he was in charge of the TRC, which is the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. So in the morning, we went to his office, and they ushered us into the foyer. We sat down, and Sister Chayenti was there. I was with them, and Daddy, I can't remember who else was there, but we sat and we waited for the Archbishop. And I think the secretary went to tell the Archbishop that there were some ladies in the foyer dressed in white saris waiting for you. So anyway, eventually Archbishop Tutu came out, and the moment he stepped out into the foyer, Daddy got up, stood, and we all stood with Daddy. And then he came to greet Daddy and told Daddy that actually it's a very busy morning. He's waiting for the television people to come and do an interview with him in his conference room. So we just have to wait. So we sat down and waited. And people were coming and going, and he was coming out to meet these people and take them into his office. And every time he came out, Daddy got up. We all got up with Daddy. And this continued over an hour. And suddenly, I said to myself, this man does not know who this woman is. How can he treat my daddy like this? Does he know who Daddy is? So I'm getting angry now. And every time he comes out of his office, he goes over to the secretary and says to her, don't they look peaceful? I said, now I'm really angry now. You know, it's like we are specimens in a glass window for him to say, don't they look peaceful now? But funny enough, after a while, you know, I realized that Daddy would get up, and when she realizes that he was not coming to her, she would sit down, and Daddy would go into this amazing silence. And then when I looked at Jane Dipen was in silence. And then suddenly the silence began to affect all of us, and my anger went. So I also went into silence because I was in this powerful gathering. Eventually, he came. The first thing Daddy did was to get up, go up to him, take his hands and greet him. And he said, this morning, when I was doing my first meditation of the morning, you came to my mind, and I realized that I had to come and see you. You and I are brothers in peace. Of course, that made Archbishop Tutu smile so widely. And then I can't remember what the conversation was afterwards, but at the end of it, Jane Ben brought these two bags full of presents. And Daddy was continuing to talk to the Archbishop, and she was giving him the presents. And his arms were getting fuller and fuller and fuller of presents. And now the Archbishop did not know what to say now because the pie was on his face. But for me, that I'll never forget that morning, because just the calmness of Daddy, you know, and her humility and the peace that was on her face was amazing. But when we went to meet the President, Nelson Mandela, that was a different story. Because in his office, there was a lot of respect. Every 10 minutes, they would come out and tell us, the President is doing this now, he will see you now. When Nelson Mandela met Daddy, you have no idea the power that was in that room. But one of the things that Nelson Mandela said to Daddy that really made me, you know, sit up, was when she asked Daddy if Daddy knew Mother Teresa. And Daddy said, yes, of course, we talk on the phone all the time. And he said to her, next time when you talk to Mother Teresa, will you please ask her to forgive me, because we had to pass the abortion bill in South Africa. I tried to tell the Pope, because you see abortion is not allowed in the Catholic Church, I tried to explain to the Pope that I am the servant of the people. If that is what the people want, I have to do that. But the Pope has suddenly stopped talking to me. But if you see or if you speak to Mother Teresa again, please ask her to forgive me. Tell her that it was the decision of the people and I had to obey that. Om Shanti.
Thank you very much. It's a beautiful expression of humility, transforming the situation. Anyone want to follow that? There's all sorts of situations on a big stage, a little stage, personal, public. So who'd like to go next? Nice to hear some more stories. No? It can be very personal. I mean, no, not personal, but private, but meaning it can be, you know, in a relationship, work situation, whatever. So what were you talking about? I'm puzzled. Cool, Rami. You've spoken, haven't you? Okay, someone who hasn't spoken.
When I came to live in another city, there were two little boys who always came in my achtertuin.
Backyard.
And did nasty things. And it was not pleasant. And I thought, well, you're rotkin. you're
naughty boys.
Naughty boys, and I hate you. You punished me. But I came by Baba, and after a while, I think I heard in the neighbor house, go screaming and so on. And I thought, these children has love and attention. They need love and attention. And I began to give them good wishes, love, a big smile, and hello. And it worked. Not at the same time, but also. And the boys are now grown-up men, and they greet me very smiley, very friendly, and also this very good thing. The feelings I had about is that I was king about the situation. It was a very good feeling. They make me not more angry, but I could give love and good wishes. That was very good for me and for him. Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful practical story of humility and happiness. Lovely. Who else? This side of the room.
There's also another story about Mandela that came to mind. It was after he became president and Dadiji came to South Africa for World Parliament of Religion. And as the president came, the BK sisters made a guard of honor on either side. And as he walked, he took each one's hand. He went up to each sister that was there and he shook their hand. And he said, it's an honor to meet you. The president, you know. And here was a man who was in prison for 27 years and who has now become the president. And, you know, the world was literally at his feet. And he was saying, it's an honor to meet you. And we were just sharing in our group how, you know, that 27 years, I mean, most of us know, that deep transformation had happened. And, you know, in his book, Conversations with Myself, he talks, there's a letter that he writes to Winnie, and he talks about the demons you know, time in prison gives you, there's a lot of time in prison for introspection and going within. And he had to use that time in that way, else he would have broken, you know. That was the aim, that was what the government was trying to do to him, 27 years in solitude. I mean, some of us, if we enclosed in a small space for a few minutes, we get claustrophobic, but he was there for 27 years. And in the letter he says to Winnie, you know, there was a lot of time for introspection, but time to see the demons that were within. And, you know, we were just sharing that transformation that happened, we feel was also what contributed to the peaceful resolution that happened afterwards, because it could have been completely bloody. There was violence, but it wasn't a total revolution. And so the power of that transformation.
Yeah, if he came out of prison with a lot of ego, it would have been a very different story. Okay, one more? It'd be nice to hear one more from someone. Anyone from the Polish group? Want to share? Come on. Every story is very valuable and very meaningful. And yes, if you need translation, it's okay.
Many years ago we were invited for the conference. It was like an interfaith conference somewhere in the monastery, the Christian big center. Many religions, Hindu religions, Hare Krishna, Christian religions.
I oczywiście głównymi gośćmi byli profesorzy z różnych uniwersytetów, którzy wypowiadali się jako znawcy, autorytety.
There were as well present many professors, authorities from the universities, scientists, etc. And they of course were the main guests.
Było nas też chyba ze 4 czy 5 osób. No i byliśmy młodymi osobami, które w zasadzie niewiele znaczyły, a więc a ci profesorowie no, akceptowali to, że byliśmy, ale nie było dla nas takiego wielkiego jakiegoś miejsca za tym stołem.
There were a few BKs for 5 of us, very young at that time, not really much respect from the others because meaning nothing for to them.
A ponieważ nas zaprosili, więc czułam, to były takie początki mojej wiedzy, więc czułam, miałam się wypowiadać, miałam przedstawiać wiedzę Baby na temat medytacji, na temat tego, kim jesteśmy i o Bogu. Więc czułam, że to, co jedyne mogę robić, to przez 2 dni praktykowałam jogę.
My role was to actually introduce Baba or basically BKs, so I didn't know how to do it, and prior to this, for 2 days I was practicing. That was my thought, that the only thing what I can do is just to practice yoga, connection with Baba, prior to my day when I was going to speak.
I ostatniego dnia pozwolono nam się wypowiedzieć.
The very last day they allowed us actually to take the floor.
Przed nami było ponad 200 księży. Trzeba pamiętać, że Polska jest bardzo chrześcijańska i księża mają swoją pozycję.
I was standing in front of 200 Christian priests, Catholic Christian, and you know, black, you know how they look like, and you need to know that Poland is a very Catholic country, and the priests are very high position in the society, and.
A więc stojąc przed nimi na mównicy. A powiedziałam Babie o tym, że po prostu no, zrób to, co powinieneś zrobić. Ja po prostu będę mówić to, co powinnam powiedzieć.
So when I stood in front of them, I thought, okay, I will say whatever I can or I think I can say in this situation. But Baba, I was speaking to Baba. Baba, you do your job because I don't know what's going to happen.
I w tym momencie poczułam, że oczywiście taki snop światła przypłynął i poszedł do całej tej sali i powiedziałam o duszy, powiedziałam o Babie i zaprosiłam ich wszystkich do medytacji i poprowadziłam komentarz.
So that moment I felt kind of a rays of light which embraced the whole hall and like above everyone and everywhere. So I spoke about the soul, about Baba, and invited everyone for a few moments of meditation with commentary.
I poczułam, że to jest taka praca, którą Baba wykonuje, dlatego że nie chcieliśmy w jakiś sposób szczególny zaistnieć, a Baba jak gdyby zrobił tak czy inaczej swoją pracę i po tej sytuacji, po tym wykładzie ci profesorowie zaczęli przychodzić i pytać nas, gdzie myśmy się nauczyli takiej jogi, w ten sposób przedstawiać i uczyć medytacji, bo oni czuli się autorytetami jogi.
I forgot the first. Anyway, so I felt that was regardless. We didn't think we could do much in that situation. But what I felt that was a Baba's work, and his actually humility, or which worked well. And afterwards, after this program, the many people with the position professors or some Christian maybe priests, yeah, no. Oh yeah. They came and congratulating and saying, hey, "Where did you learn such, you know, good meditation?"
Thank you.
Thank you. So the humility to let Baba do and not put myself in between. I'm tempted to tell a story of my own. I think it was the first lecture I gave so many, many years ago at a spiritualist church, and when I gave the talk. Baba, the humility, Baba was the instrument, it was lovely. And then when they started asking questions, I thought, oh, well, you know, I've done quite well here. So a little bit of ego came in. Baba went away. And they're asking me questions about the spirit world. And I'm telling them that, well, it's all their imagination. And I'm getting more and more red and can't answer their questions. And they never invited us back again. So the difference between humility and ego is huge in service. Thank you. Thank you for those stories. And so, okay, so our next two pillars, love and happiness. No, love and letting go. And I think you'll agree, as has come out in the discussions anyway, that without love there can't be happiness. Love really fulfills the soul. And it's so important to be able to take the love that I need from Baba, to really be absorbed in Baba's love, because if I'm not sustained by that love, there's going to be a little emptiness inside, and that's where I'll be looking for something external. And the minute I look for something external, then that's the point at which I can begin to lose my happiness, because of course it then becomes temporary, it becomes dependent. And so to be able to absorb Baba's love, it's Baba's love that doesn't have any conditions, it's Baba's love that's totally accepts me as I am. You know, when we see now not so many souls go in front of Baba, but in earlier days when we'd see souls go in front of Baba, and you'd know sometimes people's stories, you'd know, you know, all sorts of things, but Baba's face never changed. Never, right? Did you ever see Baba go, no, impossible. Because Baba's love is constant and totally for everyone, all embracing. And so this is the love that I really need to take into myself. And it's only when I'm being sustained by love that I can begin to think of letting go. Letting go of the past, letting go of the hurts, letting go of the negativity. If I don't have something to replace that emptiness inside, then I won't be able to let go. So love and letting go completely go together. Because it's that love that gives us that security and safety so that letting go is possible. And of course, you know, where does this, how do we strike the balance? Because there's the love we get from Baba, there's the love of the family. And it was very lovely this time, of course, was privileged to be in that group who were over 35 years in Gyan, being with Daddy. And the exchange of love was just incredible. London too. Incredible exchange of love. And in fact, at one point, Daddy said to us, it's the love of the gathering that is giving me strength. And so she's at a point, you know, where she's taken so much from Baba, shared so much love with all of us. And now at her time of need, in this age, that love is coming back to her in the form of blessings and also in the form of giving her strength. And so I think this is very beautiful. And so it's not that Daddy is taking our love in that sense, but it's actually the return of everything that has been given. So there's a difference. It's not that she's saying, I'm needy, but because of what she has given to all of us, or Baba through her, it's now the return that's being received. And so to interact in this way with the family is very important. We are sustained by Baba's love, but we're also sustained by the love of the blessings of love of the family too. And so, yes, there's a very lovely quote here from Baba. You have made Bap Dada your closest friend, haven't you? Have you made Baba the conqueror of your heart? Do you experience wanting to share the secrets of your heart with anyone other than the Father, even in your thoughts? If you experience the happiness of all relationships with the one Father, and you have the experience of attainment of the love of all relationships, then your intellect cannot be drawn to any other relationship. The intellect should be totally absorbed in all relationships with the Father at every breath and every thought. So this is what's open to us. But we also know that sometimes there are barriers to us taking Baba's love, right? Subtle thoughts that interfere and create a veil between us and Baba. And if I'm truly to have that happiness that Baba wants me to have, I need to be able to remove that veil so that the current of love can reach me in a very powerful way and can really free me of any limitations and any bondages and any obstacles in the mind. And I was thinking about what are those subtle barriers that we have, and I just have a few examples, because, you know, as it says in this passage, in absorbing Baba's love, it also gives us the opportunity to unburden ourselves and be free. And I've really found this, and of course Baba and the Daddies talk about this a lot, and more it's my experience that if I have the courage to give my problems to Baba, then Baba really, truly takes care of everything. And to give my problems to Baba means that I don't need to think about them anymore. Now that's the proof of it. Sometimes we say, I'm giving my problems to Baba, and then I keep thinking about it. So I haven't really given them. And there was a lovely, at one time I asked Daddy a question. And Baba talked about the master seed. And I asked Daddy, what does it mean to be the master seed? And she said, okay, become totally detached, totally soul conscious, become absorbed in Baba, in Baba's love. And then when you come onto the field of action and the field of service, you don't need to think about the task, because it's his task, it's not your task. And then she said, to be a master seed means to have a cool mind and a strong heart. And this has stayed with me. And so I catch myself, how often do we think about what is Baba's responsibility and then neglect what is our responsibility? And there are a few subtle thoughts that can come, you know. For example, and these are thoughts of I and mine, actually. For example, I know what to do. I can deal with anything that comes along. Right? I know. My stage is up to me. I have to create my stage. I have enough gyan. Baba's giving me such good touchings and inspirations for service. Everyone will be so happy. I have my problems, but so does everyone else. I'm no different. People do not really value me. I have to do things for myself. Now, some of these thoughts could seem quite good. You know, I'm responsible, create my stage. But where is Baba in that? It's a very subtle thing. And I came to this point of realizing this a couple of years back, I think only. I realized that I was taking on responsibility and thinking I'm being so good, taking on responsibility for Baba. And actually, it's much more powerful. And you can be a much more powerful instrument for Baba if you allow him to do his work. Traffic control. Good thought to contemplate in traffic control. I remember once asking Daddy a question, and it was on behalf of someone, but then also became my question. And the question was, people say that whatever comes to you in the drama will only be as much as you can handle. Is that right? Yeah? You sure? Is that right? Daddy said, no. She said, if that were the case, what would be the meaning of God's help then? And that really opened up my intellect. So if you only get what you can manage, well, fine, you'll manage. But if you want to go beyond your limits, and as we said earlier, the soul doesn't have any limits, and you want to know what is really possible if you rely on Baba, then we can't think like that. And you think what Daddy's been going through the last little while, if she thought like that, she wouldn't be with us. It's Baba and Baba and Baba and Baba. And so this is the lesson I take from the Daddies more and more, to completely rely on Baba. And of course, for me, and I'm sure for all of us, a work in progress. And of course, to be able to give everything to Baba, we need a lot of strength. We need courage and we need strength. And the time to accumulate that strength is at Amrit Vela especially. There is something very different in the power of yoga you can accumulate at Amrit Vela and at any other time. And I've really experienced this. And a few years ago, there was a group of us in front of Baba, and Baba said, at Amrit Vela, let your original qualities emerge, let your self-respect emerge. And I practiced this for a few months. It was very powerful. I still think of it at times. And many things began to be, you know, began to resolve without my effort. You know, sometimes we have some scars that we just can't change. But when we take power at Amrit Vela, it happens. They change automatically. It's really magic. And so pay special attention to accumulating at that time. So then you will have the deeper relationship with Baba and the connection and the courage and the strength to say, okay, really, Baba's going to take care of everything. And this is what is needed now at this time for us to complete service, I feel. And Daddy used a lovely phrase too. She said, it's important now to become complete in godly love. So this is our task. So, time to give our burdens to Baba, our subtle burdens to Baba, so that that flow of love can powerfully be with us. So I thought for the next few minutes we can just have some contemplation, and then actually this is something that you can take away and do also during the break time, is to write a letter to Baba. And I know that you've probably often written letters to Baba, and these little hints are coming around to you, but you can't write to a good friend too often, can you? And these are some of the thoughts you might like to consider when writing to Baba. Appreciation of all that Baba's given me in my life. Sometimes we forget how much Baba's given us. Are you leaving to catch the bus or? Okay. All right. Sometimes we forget everything that Baba's given us when we get overshadowed by difficulties. What truth really means to me? What I truly want in my life that is not dependent on any external recognition? What are the subtle fears inside me that prevent me from absorbing Baba's love? And yesterday somebody came to me afterwards and said, well, you know, I consider fears to be the dark side of me, so I just don't go there. And okay, yes, on the one hand, we don't want to be thinking about those things all the time. But if we shine a light on it, and we acknowledge something and give it over, then that thing can be lifted from me. But if I don't actually identify and acknowledge it, it's going to stay inside. So without dwelling on it too much, identify those subtle fears. And this is a time to be very, very honest with Baba. Truth and honesty go together, of course. To be very honest and to see what it is that's still preventing me from fully absorbing Baba's love. And the last point, what would I need to truly trust Baba and leave behind the limited securities that I'm used to? So this is really a time to contemplate deeply. And if you do that, writing this to Baba can be very, very transformative. Okay? It's clear? You might want to write other things, but these are just pointers, ideas, to take us in that direction of being able to unburden the self. So if we have some instrumental music, maybe for about 10 minutes, and then I'll leave you to go off and do what you need to do, and take time during the afternoon to write the letter, because you want to take time over it. You can't just do it, you know, in a minute, or 10 minutes even. And somebody said to me, well, I had a good sleep, then it was easier to write the letter after that. Some people wrote a bit before, had a sleep, wrote a bit after, so whatever's comfortable. But as soon as you feel ready, then write that letter. And then when we come back in the afternoon, I'm not going to ask you to share your letter, that's totally private. We'll then look more at happiness, what it really means to give happiness, and what are the different ways in which we can give happiness through our thoughts, through our words, through our actions. Because giving happiness is not just about, you know, oh, I feel good and I'm sharing good vibrations. It's about how you live and how you interact with others. So this afternoon we'll then dwell a lot more on that. So let's have, now this is a song, it's not instrumental music. So I want some music. You have music? No music? Okay, otherwise we have silence then. Okay. Okay, so let's contemplate. Om Shanti. was a beautiful atmosphere in the room, and I think we were all in conversation with Baba. Am I right? No? Yes? Yes. I think Baba was very interested. All my children talking to me. He loves to listen to us, you know that. Okay, so this is the close of our morning session. So we reconvene here at 4:30. So if you can be prompt. And remember, happiness is your inheritance from Baba. Okay, thank you. Om Shanti.